Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at locomotive sports. Live from Las Vegas, Nevada. I want to welcome everybody to the show. Regulars, thank you for being here. And new listeners, thank you guys, too, for joining us. Great guest tonight with us, Justin Johnson, LVMS Super Late Models. We're going to be getting to you here. Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. Hosting tonight, of course, the one and the only, J.J. Nunn.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Good. You're smiling, so that's good.
Yeah, it's a good day. It's a great day.
Weather's down a little bit, so it's good.
Woke up this morning to 70 degrees and a nice little breeze, and get us away from this 92, 95 in the morning, and you're like, oh, crap, another one of those days.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm mixed on that. I like the heat, but I don't like the heat. It pays the bill. But,
I think everybody's done with it, even though we're looking in the hundreds again.
Still, yeah.
That's exactly. Okay. A couple more weeks.
Soon, that's right.
Yeah.
Of course, we got the man always on a mission, Gary White, also hosting.
How you guys doing?
Man. I knew better than to think this real nice Corvette outside was yours.
So, oh, right? My Lord. Yeah, you
I
know
we
had
a mine. Oh, man. Yeah, it's a Chevy.
You know it's not mine.
Justin is driving my dream.
Yeah. Well, you have something in the garage, don't you?
I got a bit. Antique classic 87, metallic blue like that. I'll get it going one of these days. Racing
it's
got it.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
It's right. Come on. I bet you,
it's not worth spending the money.
Hey, I'm good with any manufacturer. Anybody, I'll drive anything. So if it's a Ford, Chevy, Dodge, I don't care.
And that's it. You can drive just about anything. You've proved it out many times on at different tracks, I'm sure. So I was expecting you about 6:30. So.
Yeah, I got off work a little early, so I was able to come hang out.
Well, see, Gary, he knows how to drive, so he drove that thing a little bit faster than normal.
Yeah.
Avoided the cops.
Yeah.
Now, you work out at Prump?
Yep. At the Ron Fellows Performance Driving School.
Okay.
Yep.
You're a driving instructor, I guess, out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been out there 11 years. So.
No kidding.
Yeah, I left a few years to go run the trucks and NASCAR, and then came back here. So yeah, I've been out there quite a long time.
Then you come back and kick some butt. I was going to ask you where you went because we haven't seen you for a few years out at LVMS.
Yeah, when I was living in North Carolina, the team I was with, they wanted to keep us going, so they kept me out there, and they'd had plans on continuing to run the truck, but then that kind of unfolded, and we went back to Vegas, and I got last year, or 2014, ran a few modified races, and just here and there, and then 15 didn't do much, and then 16 got the call to run for a championship, you know, in a super late model with John Boy Keller with J&S Machine with his engines behind us and Chris Bray's car from Phil's Fabrication, and then get my old team back together. I got my tire guy Tony helps me out, and got Al Budd, my old car owner who owned most of my race cars as a kid growing up, and then we decided we were going to run the first little bit of races and see where it goes. And next thing you know, we're running for wins, and we're climbing through the points. So we said, you know what, let's keep going.
Yeah, and there you
see
are.
See if we can get us another championship.
Sitting in first place. Not by much, though.
No, not by much. You know, I've won a championship in all the classes that I've raced at the Bullring, except I haven't won one in the super late at the Bullring.
No kidding.
I won the California, raced at Irwindale. So I won that in 2010, but at the Bullring, I still don't have a super late model championship. So I finished second to Scotty. Believe this or not, 10 years ago this year, Scott Gafferini and I were duking it out for the win for the championship, and I lost it by 1 point.
Wow.
So now I think I'm like 5 points in the lead if you do the drop of the races and everything. So I don't want to make that happen again. So we're almost in a deja vu moment here. So,
and speaking of that, with the new point system, what do you think of that, and how's it affecting your season this year, you think, versus, let's say, an old point type system?
Well, you know, this year we've had to really do a lot more calculating, to figure out where you're going to start the race, because they give you points for starting further back, and then if you do better. So we've been watching that a little bit more, but, you know, nonetheless, I mean, our main mission is to go try to get a pole and go try to get a win, you know?
Right.
So if you can do that, you get max points anyway. So that's what we've been trying to achieve lately, but, we got some good competition. You got about four or five cars that any given night could win the weekend. So
absolutely, it seems like once you get that fresh air out front, you really seem to take off and
keep on going. You know, they have three different motor packages you can run. So we're running the spec motor,
sweet,
which is they give us a weight break, but it's not much. I think it's like 75 pounds. So so we're a good 80 horsepower down from some of these guys. Don't know exactly who, but you know, when I'm driving around them, I kind of have an idea, but you're a good 80 horsepower down. And we're going into the summer months, you know, you obviously lose more power. So, so does everybody. But you know, the thing is, there's a couple motors out there that are brand new that just within the last few races that it's getting harder and harder to pass them.
Right.
So I got a lot of momentum I got to keep up. And if they slow me down in the corner, then I can't get the acceleration to make the pass before the next corner, you know?
Absolutely.
So I'm able to, I have to kind of strategize a little bit, you know, really on the starts, I got to get aggressive and the restarts, I really got to get as much as I can on those.
And once you get up front, then that obviously,
like the last race, Stan Mullis made it pretty hard for me.
Oh, yeah.
He was going hard, and he has a new motor in his car.
Well,
my father-in-law works on his car, so I've got my hands tied behind my back, and I'm blindfolded racing with that car and Stan. But it's been good because it makes me, you know, search around a little bit for a different line or try something different with my braking or, you know, kind of changing things up in the moment to try to get all I can.
Right.
And last race, I think Stan just got a little tired towards the end, and he left the bottom open for me, so I was able to get him. But you know, some of the other guys aren't as relaxed.
Well, yeah, there's a handful of them guys that have been racing a long time, and you probably seen when you were younger,
the
legends, or even before that, watching them guys, and here you are.
Yeah, I remember when I was up against the chain link fence as a kid, watching Scotty Gafferini and Steve Anderson go after it, and in a field with 30 cars or more, you know, and going one day, oh man, I wish I could drive one of those cars.
Right.
You know, never thought I'd be able to get a bunch of wins and championships and, you know, have a chance at going up to the truck series, you know.
Well, speaking of from the fence, where'd you go from the fence to next? Did you go into go-karts, or what did you get into right after?
So my dad's been an official since Craig Road Speedway.
A great name that we actually had a reunion a few years back.
So he, you know, he obviously when the Craig Road Speedway shut down, he came out to the bull ring and, you know, I ended up, you know, asking him, hey dad, you think I can get into go-karts? And he said, you know, they don't have a harness on them. They don't have a roll cage. So, you know, you should probably, you know, I don't know what we can do. Maybe we'll get you a four-wheeler or motorcycle or something.
Right.
I'm like, well, that doesn't have any harnesses
either.
But, but he, you know, that doesn't make any sense there. But we ended up saw the Bandolero cars.
Right.
Came out they were out to the West Coast. And they had just come out to the West Coast in 98.
Absolutely.
And so I asked my dad, I said, hey, can we get one of those Bandoleros? I was, you know, watching the kids go around. I was excited. I'm like, man, I'd love to do that. So my dad said, we'll see. We'll go talk to, you know, 600. It was Daryl Krentz at the time at U.S. Legend Cars. And my dad ended up surprising me and bought the Bandolero that day. And it was Saturday morning because it was Friday night. I remember at practice we were talking about it. And so Saturday morning he bought the Bandolero. And we put a duct tape number on it.
Yeah.
And then – my dad, you know, kind of had the theory of you take a paper cup, you know, and it had
absolutely
one big side, small side. He said, hey, let me just put some air pressure in his right rear and take some air pressure at left rear and stiffen up the right rear shocks, take some soften up the left rear, and put a duct tape number and go race. And I won my first race out.
No kidding.
Yeah, so
that
I knew
a good feeling, right?
It was great. It was a great time, and I couldn't be where I am right now without him, you know. So started the career off, and that year we won 21 out of 28 races.
Amazing.
So yeah, it was
absolutely
fun, and
how old were you at the time?
I was 13, I believe.
Wow.
12 or 13, something like that.
And nowadays, it's getting even younger and younger.
Maybe a little less. It was pretty late for nowadays. Nowadays,
right,
the kids are running.
Well, I mean, that's
really
young, obviously, for getting into racing. And obviously today, it seems like they're younger and younger as it goes. But,
yeah, so he, you know, we just kept going and see where it went, you know. So
do you remember some of the competition from those days? Do you still see him at the track today? Some of the guys from your early days.
Yeah, you know, you know, it was really cool. And the Bandoleros, you know, I started out with Alex Haas.
Okay.
And Zach Woodsford and those kids, Josh Gross, we raced together through the years a little bit, and then you know, slowly, little by little, you know, Zach kind of went his way, and Josh went his way, and stuff like that, and of course, Alex made it pretty far in his racing career too. With Kyle Busch. And then, you know, just I think today, I mean, there's still, you know, from legend car days, I still see guys, you know, ripping around some of the tracks, you know, in different parts of the country. I still see names that I've raced with growing up. And there's still a few out here, you know, at the Bullring. And then, of course, the super late models now, you know, David Anderson, he was a track champion in the legend cars when I raced the following year or the following year, I was the track champion at the Bullring with the Legend Cars in 2002. But yeah, just, you know, a couple guys here and there. And then, like I said, you know, with Scotty and those guys, I mean, racing for forever.
Oh,
now
yeah.
I'm racing those guys I saw when I was a little kid. So
you went from Bandoleros for, what, a couple seasons and then went right into the Legend?
Yeah, I did Bandoleros for 2 years. Everything I did two years was the span.
Okay.
So I did Bandoleros for 2 years and then did Legend Cars for 2 years.
And that's kind of where I remember seeing you first time was in the Legends, and you've always been fast out there. There's a couple times you're, and I don't know if this is a young thing or if this is I saw you like kind of blocking and stuff.
That
kid's blocking.
Yeah.
Man. Is that okay?
Oh, I went through a period where I had to do a lot of growing up, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was, you know, I used to be a real, I mean, I still am, but you know, everybody knew me as the aggressive kid,
really?
You know, and
okay. So you're still kind of known.
So I'm still kind of known as the aggressive one. I'm not afraid to use the front bumper. But I know how to do it now with art,
right.
With style, with patience. You
gotta think back then you're just getting into racing, you know, hey, you know, you're fast, you've got a talent and you're
back
on the track, but yeah,
back then it was, you know, I would go into the corners way too fast. And then I'd always leave the corners too slow. But going into the corners fast, I was able to pass guys, but wasn't able to stay off of them. You know, I'd always bang into them, and you know, I had to learn over the years how to calm down a little bit. And you know, I teach now how to drive, and I teach that patience.
Right.
I teach everything. But
it's funny how that comes.
It
around.
Is.
Here
but,
it is. It's something that you
learned
from. I guess
right.
You know,
and that's where I relate a lot of my teaching that I've done over the years. At the Ron Fellows School, and before that was Derek Daly Academy. A lot of my teaching, I blame that on being good at it. Blamed it on, you know, me learning the hard way growing up. You know, you learn the hard way. I remember one race. You know, back Jerry Spilsbury used to have a super late model team out here.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Busch and had Jerry Spilsbury and Newman, and he had Mike Kofor was there driving for him.
Kofor, yep.
And Mike Kofor. One day he used to do this huge arc into the corner, you know, going into the entry, and it was at turn three, he would always go really big arc, and which we do now, you know, all of us do it now to go fast. But back then he kept going out so far, and I kept seeing this opening, and I'm like, he's not even going to the bottom. I got to get in there. What's he doing? You know, he's arcing it in so he can get a late apex, get a straight line coming off. And here I am trying to throw it in on him underneath, and he's already, you know, started committing his turn in, and I'm doing everything wrong. But he comes up to me in a driver's meeting one time and he says, you know, if you just learn how to calm down, he goes, you'd be lethal. He goes, you're so fast right now, but you just need to calm down. He goes, you're trying to get, he's like, there's, you know, 50, at the time we were doing 50 laps was the minimum we used to do in the super. So, and he said, you know, you're at lap three and you think it's the white flag is out, you know? And he says, there's so many more laps. He's like, if you just be patient and, you know, learn the driver that you're passing and set him up. And this is a guy from the kicker from the 49ers back then, you know?
He's telling
me about how to race, but of course that's the difference from, you know, when you start growing up to when you're a young kid, you know, you don't understand that stuff. So, but yeah, so any young kids listening right now, try to you know, slow down to go fast. It's so counterintuitive, but it means the world. And, you know, when I raced at Nashville with the truck, in practice, I was 17th the whole practice.
Wow.
I couldn't get any faster than 17th, I think, bounced back and forth. And so I went up to Kyle Busch after right before qualifying on the grid there. And I said, because I raced with Kyle back in the Legend cars and stuff. And so I asked Kyle, I said, how do you get around this place? I don't know how to do it,
right.
You know? And he said, all right, so you see, he pointed, saying, you go, see turn one, see that billboard on the wall lift there. He said, when the apron has some paint on it down on the bottom, there's some yellow paint that starts. He says, you're back to full throttle there. He says, you don't break.
Huh.
He said, just lift there, go back to full throttle there.
Interesting.
Get your line. And I did that in qualifying, and we were 3/100ths off the pole.
Wow.
We qualified third. Kyle came up to me afterwards. He says, I'm not helping you anymore.
You're going to beat him.
Yeah, but I said,
that's
you don't
funny.
Have to worry about me. I go, you are like way up here compared to me. But
cool.
Just my little moment of glory there. You know, I was able to, I had Kyle and then it was Austin Dillon and myself. We were all within hundredths there of each other. It was pretty cool.
That's pretty amazing.
But yeah, that just goes to show. In practice, I was 17 because I was driving it in so deep and so aggressive. And then Kyle told me to lift, you know, 5 school buses
earlier. And you're thinking,
I
got more.
That doesn't make any sense, you know. So I did it and I tried it. And I even asked him, I said, you messing with me? Like,
right.
He's like, what do I have to gain from you? You know, like I'm a rookie coming in. He's not threatened by me. So, but it was fun. And but you learn a lot of patience over the years. And hopefully that'll help me win a championship this year, you know, being patient. And you know, there's been a few races this year where I've been impatient, but I guess
some of that's part of racing. I guess you get that adrenaline out
there.
You get
the adrenaline.
And you make those split-second decisions, you know, when you're on the track, obviously. So
hopefully the rest of – there's 3 races left, and hopefully we can keep defenders on it, and hopefully we can race fair and clean. And so far, it's been my goal with Scotty. You know, the year that we battled for the championship in 06, we raced dirty to each other. And that's not the way to win a championship. That's not if you're going to be a champion, you don't want to be the guy that does that, you know, and races real dirty. So with that's my goal this year with, you know, Klein. He's in competition with the championship, Chris Klein and Scott Gafferini and myself. Hopefully between the 3 of us, we can keep it cool, you know, till it's over and let the best man win, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and good luck to you for this year to get the championship. I think
you're
going to do it. It's really close, but those close battles sometimes make you a better driver, you know, in the end. I mean, obviously you learn from different drivers throughout the years and doing well, passing it along.
Yep.
So that's really cool, man.
Yeah. I've even learned a lot from Scotty, you know, I mean, Scotty, over the years, you know, there's taught me a lot of not only patience, but racecraft, you know, how to pass people. And I mean, one thing that I have noticed Scotty does growing up as a kid was just always, he'd drive it in so hard and he would turn in earlier than most and he'd still make it work and he'd still come out fast. And so, you know, being able to do that and pass people, that's been pretty cool.
Right.
And, you know, knowing how to do that. And you learn a little bit of that from the road race side. You know, that's Scotty's background. Learned that from the road race side. And same here now, me learning the road race side, there's a different type of braking you got to do when you're doing that. So,
what was the road racing in the Legends the first time you were exposed to?
Actually, in the Bandoleros.
Oh, I didn't know they did the.
Yeah, they did the
racing. Huh.
They did the outfield, outside road course in the Bandos.
Okay.
And we drove instead of going down the main front straightaway on the outside road course, we'd actually come out of the S's and make a right and go through the access road.
Okay.
That took you into the tight corner, tight right-hand turn before the back straight.
Okay.
So they shortened the track for us back then because they didn't restrict the bandos back when I started.
Okay.
When I started, we were
just
right. We were going around the bull ring about as fast as the legend cars.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Without lifting.
Yeah.
Basically.
And the outside road course, they actually put us together for one practice. They put the legends and the thunder, legends and the bandoleros together, and I was passing legend cars. I remember it. I was like, this is cool. But obviously, they weren't the top tier drivers.
Right,
you know, the top tier drivers, you couldn't. But yeah, some of the guys, I was like passing them. But it's just momentum, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was 2000. You were the Silver State champion on the road course.
Yep.
Along with the Bullring champion.
Yep.
And the Bandoleros. And you were fourth nationally.
Yep.
You finished up fourth nationally that year.
Yeah, it was a good year. Yeah, it was a good year, and the Legend Cars, it was a good year, you know, when we did our championship in 2002, and after the Legend Cars, though, we ended up going right to late models, so because, you know, I guess that was the next step up at the time, you know, the Grand American Modifieds were there, but the Modifieds were...
They were a little different at the time. They were like the IMCA Modifieds, I believe, at the time, so they weren't really... considered like a top tier.
Yeah, they weren't. Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't a progression.
Yep.
So, but the late models were at the time. Mm-hmm. So you guys went into late models. Racing. Yeah.
Yeah, we went into late models, and then.
What team was that you were with the late models?
So the legend cars and the late models. My first legend car was my dad, and then I met a guy named John Taylor, and he moved down to. He was an old road racer, back in the 60s and 70s. And he used to race in Austin Healey, and he moved down from Tacoma, Washington, and he ended up asking me, hey, I want you to work for me at my cafe that's at the Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
I was a young kid at the time. I said, cool, I don't have a job, I'll work.
Right.
You know, he says, you'll deliver sandwiches at the cafe, and then I want you to work for me in my lathe machine shop.
Cool.
You know,
really
I didn't
cool,
have a job. He just came up to me and he says, and I want to own your race cars and I want you to race for me.
No way.
And I said,
you're thinking, okay.
And this was for my dad, this was like, this is awesome. I don't have to flip the bill anymore. So, it was really cool. Cause I guess we were pitted next to each other and he just liked what I was doing and saw me race. And he said, I want you to drive for me. Cause I think that was something he wanted to do. Was, you know, being as a retired driver,
right.
He wanted to race a little and own a team, you know, a little team. And so he did that. And we raced the legend cars with him for a long time.
That's cool.
So, yeah, that's when, you know, we ran the legend cars till 2002. 2003, we started a few races out in 2003. And then we ended up going buying the late model and just went late model racing. And then ended up Chris Klein actually gave me my first super late model. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. He gave it to John Taylor, my car owner.
Okay.
And it was a roller road race car. It was a Jackson. So it was a Perkins. Steve Perkins was his name back in the day. He raced, at the Bullring and road raced.
Yep.
And, so he had a car in Chris Klein's shop. It was just a roller. So it had everything on it except a body. And it had it didn't have a transmission drivetrain or a motor or gear. So we got all that stuff together and put a body on it and went racing, you know, raced with him for a few years. And then Chuck Trickle, I worked for Chuck Trickle in 2003 there for a little bit on his, winning championship year. And then went into, racing for Chuck Trickle.
But what'd you take out of each time you're on these different teams? What'd you take from each team as far as, you know, knowledge? I mean, was it the driving experience on top of like setup knowledge or a little both?
So one thing that one kicker to the whole operation when I drove for John Taylor, drove for Chuck Trickle was I've got to work on my own car.
Okay.
I got to do everything. So,
right.
So I didn't have, you know, I worked on my own car and then I had, you know, at the time I went to Dick Cobb. And Dick Cobb was my guy to lean on because he former Jackson, you know, chassis
absolutely
guy. And had the Watts Link rear end. That's what I had. So I was the only one in the field that had it. I had to learn how to use it.
Right.
So I'd go to Dick Cobb's shop every day, twice, three times a day. I'd be there. He probably got so sick of me. He probably said, this kid needs to get out of here. But I didn't have anybody else to look to learn.
Right.
You know, nobody knew anything about it except obviously, you know, him and Scotty and those guys. But, you know, he was just right around the corner from the Speedway. We had our shop at the Speedway. So I went to his shop a lot and then, you know, learned setup knowledge from him. And the driving aspect, learned a lot through the setup. So,
absolutely.
You know, like the car not handling right, you know, made me have to learn how to adjust, you know, my style to make it work.
Right.
You know, I can't just keep driving the same way. Otherwise, it's just going to keep pushing. Or it's going to start getting more sideways. So I got to make sure that, you know, I changed my style a little bit because of that. And then that actually hit me at a point in my career where it was a weakness because, I was so good at adapting to a car that was ill handling,
right,
that when my cars were ill handling, I would be able to adjust my style to slow the car down enough to where it was handling better.
Absolutely.
But lap time wise, it was too slow. So it would actually hurt me in the long run. Versus just trying to
make the tweaks.
Yeah, adjust it to make it better.
Okay.
I would just deal with it. And that was the wrong move, but I didn't know much.
Well,
that brings up
a good point.
How old were you then?
Well, when I started working on the cars, it was on my Bandolero from day one. I mean, my dad, he was mechanically inclined, and he said, hey, you know, you're going to be fast. You got to work on your cars, and you got to learn what every nut and bolt does and everything. And I remember we were out running Legend cars one night, and my dad was over at Tom Bush's pit and talking to Tom, and Kyle was in the trailer, and he's got his carburetors up on the thing, and he's got them all in pieces, and he's putting them back together and fixing them. So my dad goes back to our trailer, and he goes, son, we gotta take your carburetors off. He says, I'm going to teach you how to rebuild these carburetors. And I said, what for? What's wrong? The car's running fine. What's wrong? He goes, no. If you want to beat Kyle Busch is going, he's over in his shop, his garage or trailer right now, and he's building them, and he's going to be faster. So you got to learn how to do this. So,
you know what? There's nothing wrong with monkey see, monkey do.
Right?
When you're following the best.
Yeah, that was, and that was the thing, was you always wanted to be him, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I worked on my cars all the way through and I did my own setups for a while. And then I finally met, when I raced with Chuck Trickle, finally met Brian Kaiser. I mean, I met Brian Kaiser years ago, but you know, Brian did a little bit of my Legend car setup.
It's funny how like these different names cross paths at some point or another. So yeah, Brian Kaiser.
Yeah. And you know, when he kind of took over, Brian would always kind of give me pointers and say, hey, put this spring in, do this, do that.
Right.
So I always did my own stuff, but Brian was kind of the behind the scenes. Then when I got to Super Lates, he kind of took over and he did all my stuff. He worked on the setup part, you know. So then that's when we finally started winning races and coming close to championships, you know. So. Yeah, if it wasn't for Brian Kaiser, I wouldn't be any good in the super late models, you know.
Well, you know, it's good to be able to do everything, but there comes a point where you shouldn't have to do everything. You concentrate on driving, and you got the people in place to be able to do what they do best.
Right.
And obviously, it makes you a better team.
Yeah,
you know?
And thankfully, we had a lot of guys donate their time. You know, obviously, you know how it is. Everybody wants to get paid, but when you have passion, everybody does it out of their goodness of their heart. And,
right. Work for food.
You know, fed them food. And I still do that, you know, before I go to the shop. And if it's early in the morning, I'll say, hey, guys, eating yet? I'll get you some breakfast sandwiches. You know, so I usually do a lot of that now for those guys. And, you know, the car, so far this year, we haven't even had to touch our car. We haven't had it on the scales this year. We haven't gone out and practiced on Friday nights. It's kind of almost like, we just keep the same routine because it's working.
If it's fast, don't fix it. I mean, do you think?
Keep your fingers crossed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think a lot of that because you went after and got a lot of your old crew, the old faces together, and that helped bring it together faster than it would have any other way?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, if we back in the day when we were running for championship, we kind of dialed ourselves out sometimes, you know, you overthink it, you'd make changes, and you always go back and you say, I shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have touched this, and I go, you know what, it's the same track, been here forever.
Right, well, exactly, and that's a good point.
Yeah, so we just, this year we haven't had to touch a car, which has been really good, you know.
Well, I guess that brings up something also, I guess, same track and all that. But what was your first, I guess, experience at outside tracks, you know, traveling and hitting some other tracks besides the Bullring?
So in the Bandolero car, we went to my first out-of-town experience was Havasu.
Absolutely.
So we went to Havasu.
You know, and I got nothing but great things to say about Havasu, man. Love that track.
Yep.
Everybody I've talked to loves the track and the people down there, the
yeah.
staff and everybody. But anyways, okay.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, that was my first track that I ever went to away from the Bullring.
Right.
And we had good. We won. I think we won. It was a couple night show, and I think we won
cool.
one of the nights. I can't remember if we won both or not. But, yeah, it was really cool. Just, you know, we left the same Bullring set up in it, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
And
it worked.
It worked.
For you, so,
yeah, it worked.
Cool.
We just, we you know, some of these tracks, you just change camber a little
or
bit.
Gear
caster,
or
but,
something.
Or
like
gear.
Yeah.
Yeah, gear obviously changed that. But yeah, that just, that was cool. Going to Havasu and you know, over the years have had a chance to go run, you know, all the short tracks on the West Coast, most of them. And even a dirt track. I've raced dirt once.
I mean, were you nervous when you were hitting, let's say, going back to the Havasu, like first time ever at a different track, different competitions, a few different faces that you'd never seen before? Were you nervous? Or
oh,
were
yeah.
you thinking,
oh,
like,
yeah.
what am I doing here?
You know, if you think back from, like, how I feel today when I'm in...
Because your dad was obviously like, hey, I know the kid can do it. Hey, go race.
Yeah.
But you're probably thinking something different, you know, like, oh, crap.
Well, my dad, he was always, you know... My dad doesn't have a lot of money. He didn't, he obviously, you know, spent every penny he could
right.
trying to help me. And, so when I would go out there knowing that he didn't have the money to play, but he was doing it anyway,
right.
I knew it was hurting him. So I always went out there every race nervous, more so not to wreck the car,
right.
you know, just cause I didn't want him to have to spend more
well,
money
you know
than
what?
He's already spent, you know.
Kudos to you for thinking that at your young age, you know, cause a lot of kids that age, I think go out there and are reckless, not
yeah.
knowing that
right.
there's implications to, you know, financially to your dad or your family
yeah.
or whoever's putting up the money for that. So that's cool. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So,
my daddy,
that
you know,
back in your mind.
he's probably kicking himself in the butt right now because he
right.
told me back then, he said, when I told him, he asked me, he says, how, you know, there was a couple races there where I was in a situation where I could have passed a car or I could have, you know, stayed in a position and, but yet kind of just let it
right.
go, let somebody else have the spot. And he asked me one time, he says, you know, you had that spot. Why'd you give it away? Why
right.
did you let that guy pass you? And, you know, I kept telling him, well, I'm just worried about him hitting me and spinning me. I wrecked the end of the wall. And so he sat me down that when I told him that, and he
right.
says, one thing I want you to do, he says, I don't want you to worry about the money. He says, you go out there and drive as fast as you want. You wreck as many times as you want. He goes, I want you to go win, you know.
That's
cool. And so he told me, and as I said, he's probably
right.
kicking himself in the butt now because
yeah.
I went out there.
I did exactly what he said. Started tearing shit up.
I did, and I did tear. I tore up a lot of stuff. My dad, wow. But that I think that was my dad's tactics on making
hey,
me learn
so
how to work on the car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, hey, he can teach you how to work on the stuff
yeah.
once you broke it, right?
You wrecked it. Now you fix it.
Yep, and I did. I did. I remember... you know, it was the off season. A couple off seasons. I remember stripping the car all the way down the frame,
that's
you know,
cool.
and rebuilding it back up just so I know how to do it. And you know, and just my dad would buy some spare parts, and I'd put them together, make sure that I had you know spare, you know, a whole set of right
sure.
front suspension, A arms, and everything together with the spindle on it already, just so in case.
Any
I did,
used carburetor?
Yeah, yeah. The carburetor thing too. You know, we did that, and then eventually, you know, you learn, hey, you got to send your carburetors off to get
exactly.
Faster, so.
It's exactly at some point, hey, let the pros take care
yeah,
of that.
Yeah,
know. But at least you know how to do it.
Yeah, yeah, and setup. You know, I know a lot about setup and everything, but if I went to go set up my own super late model this
right.
year. There's no way I would have been able to win a championship or come close to winning races without having brains behind the car like Chris Bray and Brian Kaiser. And, you know, I think it's some, you know, there's drivers that need a car that's really 100% good for them to win races.
Right.
But, you know, I don't need a car that's 100%, but obviously it's,
well,
good.
You know,
it's good to have it.
And why exactly, I mean, rewinding back to what you were saying about you adapting to the car that you have, you
yeah.
know, not many people have that talent. They get in a car, it's either good that night or it's not, and they can't adapt and make it work. And obviously you've proven that you can take a car that's not 100% and actually make it work and win on any given night.
Well, having your old crew back this year must give you a tremendous amount of confidence, knowing that these guys were there when you were 1 point behind,
right?
And they're here again to support you. That's got to give you tremendous confidence.
Yeah, and you know, the guys know how I am and what I like, and you know, I'm very picky with tires and making sure that, you know, we nut and bolt the car and making sure I've lost too many races with halfway doing it, you know, so.
Right.
So back to that, just knowing these guys will put every 100% into it they can, you know, and these guys just have normal day jobs like all of us, you know, and then they sacrifice all they can. Have been working 10 hours, you know, most of them are construction guys. So they've been out there since 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
And then they're right at the track with me, you know, right behind me and helping me out. And it's just, it's good to see that those guys are wanting to come back and help out. And there's not a lot of us, you know, I mean, it's only a handful, but that's all you really need. And as long as you have, you know, you got good people behind you, and one is like two people anyway.
Have any of them guys been to any other tracks with you besides Vegas?
Oh yeah.
They traveled around with me.
You went from Havasu, let's say in the Bando.
Yep.
And you touched a little bit on some dirt track racing. Where was that at?
That was at Barona.
California.
Oh. Yeah.
I've never heard of Barona.
Really?
It's a little short track oval.
Any of you guys?
Barona?
No.
Dirt track. It's 1/8, isn't it?
I can't remember. You look it up. I don't know.
Where is it? Southern?
It's Southern. Okay. Yep, it's Southern. But
so Barona, and then
what
type of car?
In a legend car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so they ran him on. You know, I did back in the day. They did do that. I mean, dwarfs obviously are dirt type cars, but they did run some legend races. I remember that back in the day, some on different dirt tracks.
Yeah.
So
Andy Adamczyk did that
out here at the
half
mile.
Yeah,
and
a couple
Benny
times.
Went,
right.
And he went to Texas Motor Speedway, and that's all he ran the legends on down there.
Was dirt?
It was on dirt.
Oh, no kidding. Huh.
Yeah, the dirt track stuff was fun, but the legend cars, you know, they're not really made for dirt.
Right.
You know, the mud just packs on the fenders, and then the fenders are only held on by rivets, and they fall off all the time. So, I mean, that's why the dwarf cars don't have fenders.
Exactly.
But they did those, you know, exhibitions where you invite the legend cars to try to make the field bigger. We raced with the dwarf cars, you know, at the same, you know, obviously they had a lot more power, but, you know, I go back to, like me this year, you know, power isn't everything. Is
right.
You know, I was able to, in that dirt race, I went to, I led the race, and I spun out a couple times that race, fell back, and then made my way back up, and then ended up finishing third. But, you know, the power isn't everything, because I was able to put the power down more than they could, you know.
Exactly.
So, and that's how it is kind of today.
I mean, and you've been to different tracks, you said, with this group of guys that you have. Obviously, Irwindale was one of them. Racing the late models, were they super lates or
super late models?
Super
lates,
but they have a different super late model package there, don't they, with the spec motors or no?
Irwindale, you know, there's three different motor packages at the Bullring today. The one package, obviously, I have the spec motor.
Right.
Then the next option is what like Irwindale runs,
okay,
an open motor.
With a CT 525 or something like that. Or,
yeah, I'm not sure.
Anyway,
you can run a bigger motor. They just pack weight on you.
Okay.
You
get the weight penalty.
Yeah, you get the weight penalty.
Okay.
And then there's the sealed motor. The sealed motor is the magic today. That's where it's at. That's where you get the big power, low end torque.
Okay.
You know, it's they limit you on gear RPM.
Okay.
They put a rev chip in there, make you hit the rev limiter. You know, but you get so much low end torque. You
wow.
know? So, but yeah, those are the three packages. So we went when we ran Irwindale. We raced with the motor package, the second one, the big motor. So, which I would say the spec motor I'm running right now, probably the same type of power that the bigger motor was putting out back then. Because the bigger motor now is even a little bit bigger. They obviously, over the years, they do magic in there and they make them better. But it was by Croyer Racing Engines. So, the same guys that did Brennan Gaughan's truck stuff. And so we ran his motors. They're really good.
And obviously a different type of track, half mile track at Irwindale, different line.
Yeah,
the Bullring, the High Line is probably the preferred line up there.
Yep. I raced Irwindale when they were on the Goodyear still.
Okay.
So the Goodyears, they had a lot more traction. You know, you could run up right up against the wall. And but then the next year the Goodyears were gone, the Hoosiers were in.
They went to the Hoosiers.
And then from there, it was kind of like now you got to run kind of the middle, you know, to high of the middle, somewhere between there is a good spot, you know. But so I used to struggle a little bit when I first started there, driving it in too hard,
you're
of course.
Driving this old line, like
with the
Goodyears.
Like with the Goodyears, and then I learned to back up my corner and slow it down,
right.
Just everything I've learned now, you know. And
He has some good competition out there. I know Ryan
Reed,
yep.
Who's in the Nationwide now, yep. Ryan Partridge.
Partridge,
who is
also,
in K&N now, running
yep.
the K&N stuff, which, you know, I'm trying to find sponsors too, you know, if
right.
anybody's listening and we want to help out.
Absolutely, hey.
But,
no
yeah, we don't have any full-time sponsors on the car this year, so, but I've been always trying to look and putting my resumes and stuff together, trying to send them out to people, but, really, you know, with today's world, it's, who you know, and
absolutely.
And you got to find somebody that's into racing, you know, because
right.
you get somebody that's not into racing, it's tough, you know. They want to see what they're going to get out of it, and you know, in this racing world, you don't get too much, you know,
right?
Except you know, every company has some type of advertising dollars they're going to have to spend of some sort. So,
well, I mean, you had a taste of the truck series. Is that the direction you want to kind of go back to, or you want to do the K&N, or what direction are you? SRL late models, obviously, or
I would love to do all the above. I would love to, you know, obviously.
True racer, okay, yeah,
all of them. Yeah, I don't know if I could make it to, you know, Nationwide with that budget. I mean,
right.
the trucks. I don't even know if I could even find enough money to run full season.
Right.
But I would love at this point. I'd love to just get some money together to run, you know. A couple races a year, you know,
right.
maybe five races a year or so, just the good fun. I'd love to do some road racing now. The trucks go to the road race tracks.
And I was going to ask that too. You know, I mean, you've had a taste of the road racing. Not a lot of the circle track type cars do road racing, except for in the higher series.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's something that you would want to get more into.
Yeah, for sure.
And obviously, that's what you do
today
for a living. So
right.
You probably have it down pretty damn good.
Yeah, the road racing stuff, I'd say probably I'm just as good on a road course as I am on an oval, you
right.
know. Learned a lot through both worlds of driving, but that's something I would want to do, either K&N or my dad's he's the official in the West Series, one of the officials, so he
cool.
again he always tries to get my name in their head, and you know, we're working on a few things now, try to put something together for next year, you know. Again,
absolutely.
Don't know if it's going to happen, but
hey.
We're working on something with the West stuff, and
okay.
if it goes through, then that'd be great. But right now I have two twin daughters that I had. They're going to turn two in November.
Oh, congratulations.
So, thanks.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You don't get much sleep.
Yeah.
Over the last
yeah.
couple years.
Yeah. It's so, you know, the whole, your
that's
whole
cool,
racing
man.
World and mindset changes
yeah,
when you have that. So,
absolutely.
You know, obviously I'm always thinking of them first now.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of selfish sometimes. I always think about myself, but you know, now that happen to think about them and the wife and,
right.
you know, what would be best for all of us if I was to go back racing full time, something
right.
bigger, you know? And I don't think, you know, it probably wouldn't be smart to do something full time with them, you know, I mean,
well, but you know what? Sometimes you got to do what feels right to you, what
yeah.
you like to do, and the rest will follow. You know, you,
yeah.
you got a family, you know, obviously they're always
yeah.
going to be with you. And
they're very supportive.
Right.
They're,
and that's important on any racing, whether you call it a career or a hobby.
Right.
You know, it's a strong family backing and, you know.
Right.
I mean, if you love racing, it's in your blood. So, I mean, to rule out.
And the
racing
wife
it,
came
and,
from a background of racing
yeah.
as well. So.
Yep. Yeah,
did she really?
Yeah,
I mean,
she is.
Yeah, it's
Alaska.
Yeah, my I met her when she was 12 years old, and I raced against her brother since those
no
early
kidding.
Days as well, Jimmy
oh,
Parker
cool.
Jr.
Oh, okay.
And it's his sister, and she never liked me. She hated me, you know. Growing up racing her brother, she was always against me. Obviously, I was the competition.
That's so funny. Hey, can't beat him.
So, yeah.
Again, she's from a background
right?
of
yeah.
racing.
Yep. And, you know, her dad was Kyle and Kurt Busch's crew chief
right.
in the super late models here at the Bullring and in ASA with Kyle and
oh,
onto
yeah.
the trucks and stuff. And so they come from the big racing background. And I think in 2000 and I want to say 2007, my teammate was Jeff Connors. And it was myself, Jeff Connors, and then the late – Ray Hooper Jr.
Oh yeah, Ray Hooper Jr.
So Ray Hooper Jr. was part of our team, And then at that time, my father-in-law now was my crew chief back then. And so it kind of came into, well, hey, let's get Jimmy Jr.'s car
right.
in the camp. So we had four cars, kind of like the big teams, you know. And so Jimmy Parker Jr. became my teammate.
Interesting.
Well, then the world of the love, you know,
right.
changed. You know,
absolutely.
Obviously we're teammates now. So
not
it's
competitors,
okay.
right.
Yeah, so now she didn't like, she didn't hate me. Now she's kind of liking me now. So
that's funny.
So, yeah, so then it turned into, you know, we just hung out a few times and I, you know, got together. We were always friends. You know, we hung
yeah,
high and
course.
Hung out and stuff, but we never really, you know, got now, to, got
how do you like me a little better
yeah, yeah.
when I'm on your
right.
stuff?
You just give up some of those racing secrets.
That's what I said. That's what I said. I said, hey, you want to,
yeah,
you want to date me now? Am I okay now that we're
right?
But yeah, so she, we got together in 08, and then we ended up getting married in 09.
That's
so
cool. Congratulations.
Thanks.
On that.
Yeah. Obviously, that's.
Makes you do a lot of growing up.
Yeah.
But it makes it even better when it's from a racing background on top of it, because she understands when you come home from the track, she understands exactly what you what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
the good,
track.
The
yeah.
bads, and the frustrations.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, again, they tell you, you know, as you're going through the marriage years, it's kind of, it's these ups and downs,
yeah.
you know, it is, and it is. And the racing thing is definitely something she's really always been supportive of.
Did she come out and watch you race?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she comes out every weekend,
yeah.
yep,
cool.
That I race, and she brings the girls. And this last weekend when I won, she, you know, I was at the start-finish line, and my old car owner,
right.
who John Taylor, who won owned my Legend cars and stuff, he was out there, and he was holding one of my daughters, and my wife was holding my other one, and they were waving at the start-finish line. So it was cool to see them now, you know.
Right.
I mean, never even thought that I would be even still racing past my dad owning the cars.
That's,
you know,
crazy.
So it's pretty cool to be in this for as long as I have been.
You know, it's funny because, like, my wife, she used to come out and watch, but she gets too nervous, so she stopped coming. At least that's what she told me. I just don't like racing,
right?
Really, but, you know, she gets too nervous watching, you know,
yeah.
you get too any close calls or something like that. You
yeah.
know, and she's, but when you have a wife that's around it all the time and has been around it her whole
yeah.
life, then that's another story. So
yeah, she's nervous, but I would say my mom is the nervous one. She,
right.
My mom doesn't like coming out and watching.
Oh yeah.
But just because of the nerves, you know.
Exactly.
So
no, that's,
well,
funny.
She didn't have to, when you started dating her, she didn't have to come out to the race and watch you.
Yeah,
she,
you
had daddy to watch you.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep
yeah.
you in line.
Yeah.
When you were done at the track.
Yeah.
You could just go home.
Yeah.
Well, daddy's got him
right.
there, and I got him over here.
Yeah.
You had a double-edged sword there.
Yeah, there was, he was groupie control.
Yeah.
Say.
Yeah.
He didn't have to have his shotgun with you, right?
No.
Yeah. Now, that's pretty cool, man.
Get in the car, kid, now.
Yeah.
I'll get rid of the ones out here.
I actually asked him, I said, hey, you know, do you mind if I date your daughter? And he said, your funeral.
he knew
right away.
Right. Anybody,
yeah.
yeah.
He goes, she can handle herself.
You know, you're doing him a favor.
Yeah. So yeah, he. I kind of went the old school way, and
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's a gentleman.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
definitely a gentleman.
You know, I'm in that era. I'm young. I'm 31 years old, but I'm in that transitional era from
right.
kind of old school way to younger school way, and.
The millennial,
yeah.
next generation
yeah.
to millennials.
And then now the kids, they're in their rooms on their video games. I'm
I
like,
know, exactly.
I'm like, man, what, you, have you ever broken a bone? Have you cut any skin open or anything?
Exactly.
And, you know, so.
Have you drank water right out of the hose?
Yeah, yeah, right.
And they're
like,
oh my gosh,
water out of the hose?
Oh, man.
So
what's your favorite track that you've been to out of all the tracks you've been to? I mean,
I would say, you know, on the big scale, I would say Phoenix, you know, was
okay.
my favorite. I mean, I didn't get to race a lot of tracks. I just a handful. But, you know, Phoenix was my favorite bigger track. And then because it drove like a short track, you
okay.
know, it's a bigger track, but it drives like a short track. And then, you know, my favorite short track, I would have to say, would be probably Blythe.
No way.
Yeah.
I think that's the worst track. That was Blythe. That's the track I hate the most.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
no
I
kidding.
I hated
that's
it.
Interesting.
And I think that's why I like it, because it took me a little bit to defeat it. You
well,
know,
exactly.
I had
a challenging track.
There
was
so many.
It was a challenge.
It's a challenge. And,
wow.
and it, you know, I got into a bad wreck there. And, That's why we don't like it. We had a we were in the ASA truck series. We had a wreck one of our trucks in a practice session. Pretty bad. So.
Yeah, it was. But you know, just the it was just so tough. You know, the lighting wasn't that great. It's bumpy. The you know, it's a circle. And you know, the my first you know, my last time there, you know, after the wreck, we had a really bad wreck. I was in the hospital and everything. And
I didn't know
the
that.
Seat wasn't mounted right.
Huh.
It was not, it was, the bolts were bolted.
Oh.
It was one of the, you know, it was old school. So the seat was literally, you drill two holes in the back, you bolt it to the sheet metal. You know, it wasn't even in any type of metal
bracing
or bracing.
Interesting.
So it was bolted wrong in the back. So when I hit the wall head on it, it folded the seat. My head hit the steering wheel. When I came to a rest, my head was in the steering wheel. The steering wheel was bent. My visor up and everything broken off. But it after that wreck, we were like, hey, we need to come back. It totaled the car. So we were like,
in a late
super,
model,
late.
Super late model.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we needed to come back and win. So at the time, Ray Hooper Jr. Had his car, and he said, here, jump, drive my car, and we'll
go. The old number 70 back in those days, orange.
Yep.
Orange.
And that was that was a dinosaur car, man.
Yeah.
That was an old car.
Trust me, I've seen that
for a
long time.
And it's still around.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's his you know, Ray Hooper's, one of Ray Hooper's sons from marriage, is driving it now.
Interesting.
Yeah, David
Brand.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he's running that car at a different track. I don't know where he's running, but
Irwindale.
No,
just,
Willow Springs.
Oh, there you go.
Willow Springs.
There you go. So yeah, he's been running that car around
there.
But
crazy.
But I ended up after that. You know, we went back a couple months later, and we set fast time, won the heat race.
Cool.
And then. Won the race, you know. So it was like,
was it
really
a,
cool.
A new car or just a different?
No, it was actually, this car was, I believe, some sort of half Ron Hornaday car /
right. He was from, that's right.
Fabricated clips and stuff. So it was
so the car was still, it was old at that time.
It was old at that time, and so it's really old now.
Yeah,
well,
okay.
I'm not, you know, life, that was a good while back, but it was, we ran, we won, and it was like cool to conquer that track because
cool.
It was, we struggled the first couple times we went, and we struggled because, you know, the track, it just, I learned that I didn't need brakes. I didn't use the brakes there.
Huh.
So I would lift early and just let the gear slow me down. And, I mean, I've never run a track where I've done that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's crazy.
I've never,
right.
You know, with the
engine brake and then
let it roll.
It
literally was engine braking.
That's crazy.
And, you know, I didn't learn. It took me a while to learn it because the straightaway speed was just as close to the corner speed.
Right.
That was the problem. And so the braking would just throw me off. I'd just lose too much speed braking, you know?
Oh,
so
I
would end up just not driving in as deep.
Right.
Lift a little earlier, carry that momentum, you know, and that worked out.
Oh, let me
Roll it in, drive it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what
it is. Guys, driving out of turn four has always got me nervous in that track.
Yeah.
Just because that wall is right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, crazy.
That was sketchy when you can't see it that well either,
right?
You know? So.
That's hey, before we run out of time, I know we're getting close.
Yeah.
You want to talk about sponsors and stuff real quick? Family, people you want to thank or anything to talk
you
about?
You know, I mean,
your upcoming stuff.
John Boy Keller's built a badass engine, and we've been running and winning races with his motor. And even though it's not the one that we initially wanted to run this year, it's still his motor, and he put that thing in there and helped me out. And so without him building a good motor to stay together for the season, I you know, wouldn't do it without him. And then, of course, Chris Bray lending me the car for the year.
Cool.
And Al Budd for paying for all the tires and fuel and
sweet.
Yeah, it's been good with those guys and you know, we're still looking for sponsors. You know, it's funny because everybody asked me, why is the car purple? And I said, well, you know, the kid that used to run it, Dylan Kwasniewski, you know, he was sponsored by Royal Purple.
Right.
So I said, hey, I'm not opposed to having
let it stay purple.
You know,
give him a call.
Yeah.
Get back on there.
You know, Chris Klein has the Royal Purple shirt or you know, suit, and he's got the Royal Purple stickers on his car. And I said, dude, your car's white. Let me peel that off and put on my car. Mine's purple. You know, it's all fitting. You know,
right.
Let me take your suit. He you know, obviously looking for sponsors. And there's only a couple races left, but any little bit helps.
Well, and you say a couple races. You got a twin race coming up this weekend, Saturday, this 10th. Watch out for Justin Johnson and the 17X.
Yep. NASCAR this weekend, double main, twin 35s, and then a championship night coming up a couple weeks after that. But what's the best way somebody can get a hold of you when they want to get a hold of you? Is it Facebook?
Ask Gary. My Facebook Messenger, you can get a hold of me.
So get a hold of Gary.
Yeah, right.
You have a website or email or something like that you want to give out?
Yeah, I don't have a website anymore, okay. Which I wish I could too. Anybody wants to do a website for me? So
there you go.
That'd be good.
Yeah,
but,
where could a sponsor get a hold of you if somebody is interested?
The best way would be through my Facebook. Would be the best way.
Okay.
And then I've got, if it's through email, it's justinjohnson098@gmail.com. So,
okay.
If anybody, obviously is interested in, again, I'm not opposed to a couple $100 or, a couple $1,000.
Well,
anything.
And doing some reading and stuff like that, you stumble across different things, The sponsors, it can be $10, it can be $100 on up, and sometimes you don't know where those lead to. So if you want to get your name on a car, especially with Justin Johnson here, somebody that's been fast and everything he's been in, you want to be able to get your name out there. It's a unique type of business to sponsor a race car. We always encourage when people go to the track to visit the names that are on these race cars. Also, what about at your work? Is that something anybody can go do and drive a Corvette?
Yeah, the Ron Fellows Performance Driving School, anybody can pay to go out there and run. We have cars, our own Corvettes out there, and we teach you. We have a private instruction one-day program to a two-day program to a three-day program.
Okay.
So there's multiple levels that you can look at, but just Spring Mountain Motorsports Ranch.com is the website for that. You can type in Ron Fellows Performance Driving School as well.
And if they want you specifically, can they request you specifically?
Yep.
So ask for Justin Johnson.
There's 28 instructors out there.
Wow.
More than welcome to ask for us, any of us.
Is it just Corvettes?
So
Ron Fellows?
What we do is, yes, just Corvettes. We have a Cadillac school as well. And then we also have a racing division out there where you can come out and drive an actual race car.
That's cool.
The cars that we have now, it's a prototype car. It's called the Wolf. And it is, it's a car you can come out and drive if you've never driven a race car before. So
that's cool. That's cool to know that. I know JJ needs to get out there and learn how to drive a Corvette because he never drives his. So pay the money, Jay. Go out there.
There you go.
Justin Johnson.
Yeah.
Do you go by JJ also?
Yeah, JJ as well. Okay. Yep. And if anybody wants to come out to the rump track out there, I give you a tour and give you a hot laps, show you around. And
that's a nice facility out there. If you haven't been out there, that is something else.
It's grown, it's
diving in the desert for sure.
Yep, they're going to purchase 500 more acres.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, they're going to put in another 6 miles of track. So it's going to be, right now we have 6.2 miles of road course.
Nice.
They put another 6 miles in there. We're going to have lots of room to play. So he wants to put a mile and a half long straightaway in for high speed testing. So
nice.
It'd be cool.
Nice.
And another question on JJ's mind is, have you ever been in a bomber race car? Because he brought you in one night.
Hey, I have not been in a bomber, and I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind being in a bomber.
guess what? The invitation is going to be open because I know next year Gary's going to have a couple bombers, I'm sure, available.
Yeah.
And they're always fast. So
got to go give.
We'll hit you up.
Yeah, if Aaron McMorrin. I'll go play with Aaron now.
Hey, Aaron, it's a challenge. We're going to get JJ out there and beat your butt to bummer.
I'm concerned about Justin's personality and his integrity. Somebody comes up to him and says, hey, you JJ who drives that bomber?
No,
Justin Johnson is
the other JJ.
You got the wrong JJ.
Hey, real quick, we're out of time. Thanks, Justin Johnson.
Thanks, guys.
If you guys want to go to LVMS.com, check it out, click on the Bullring link, and we got races this weekend. You want to come root Justin Johnson to the 17X Super Late Model Twin Mains out there this weekend, so come on out. Otherwise, you can look at the archives on onwheelsnow.com, and we're here live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. So thanks for joining us, Justin.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
I appreciate it, man. And time goes by too quick anytime, man. We can have another show with you, and we do invite you next time too, man.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in, Justin. Hey, school's open, people.
Okay,
drive safe.
It's cool. It's school night this weekend.
School 17
and under are free.
School's open. Drive safe in those zones. Slow down. Have a good night.
Cool. See you next weekend. Or next week.
Next week.
Thanks for listening.